From Deepwater Bay in Hong Kong, welcome to the GCN show.
Welcome to the GCN show.
Coming up this week, survive to 25. We've lost a few big names in the cycling business recession, but is 2025 really going to be that much better? Yeah! We'll let you know why.
We're also going to run through our favourite moments of 2024 and let you know what's coming up on the channel next year.
On the channel? Next year? Mm.
Without giving any secrets away, of course.
All right.
This year in the world of cycling, we learned that there's a new goat in town. Tadej Pogačar has achieved the unthinkable, hitting levels of dominance in the men's pro peloton not seen since Eddie Merckx in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, the Tour de France, plus six-stage wins. Yeah. The Giro, plus six-stage wins. The World Champs, Il Lombardia, Liège-Bastogne-Liège, Strada Bianca, and more. Mm.
And more mental, isn't it?
Yeah.
I, for one, though, can't wait to see what happens in 2025. We also learned this year that the boundaries for ultra endurance are still being pushed. Lachlan Morton achieved unthinkable feats as he lapped Australia in just over 30 days. The average for that record-breaking performance, 450Ks per day.
Wowzers. Leah Wilcox landed the big one, breaking the women's round the world record, taking 16 days off the previous one, held by Jenny Graham, who, it has to be said, did it completely unsupported.
We should say again, yes, yeah. A slightly different record, although not in the eyes of the record books.
No, indeed. Now, of course, we've learned already that 2025 is going to be even bigger for endurance feats, because Dan here is gearing up for his epic ride to raise money for Ambitious About Autism.
Yeah, many thanks for these continued weekly reminders.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you all for donating as well, because our target is creeping ever closer.
Yeah, we might not get over the target.
Oh, we will.
Fingers crossed. Finally, we learned this year that it's been a rough one for the cycling industry and actually all the people working in it. The post-COVID bubble has well and truly burst, leaving many struggling with the consequences of what were basically ill-judged forecasts.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not at the time. It was a weird time, wasn't it? But now, in hindsight, it does seem a little bit naive and even fanciful to expect that that trajectory from 2020 was going to continue. But it does really feel like we've gone from boom to almost bust, haven't we?
Well, bust in some cases.
Yeah, 2024 was another tough year for most of the cycling industry and the people working in it.
So distributors Wiggle CRC, More Large and iRide.co.uk all went into administration, whilst the Pros Closet and Parley almost suffered the same fate, didn't they? Only to be saved at the last minute. Others, well, they're weathering the storm, but having made many redundancies or restructuring.
Yeah, now we ourselves have not been immune to it. You'll remember that Warner Brothers closed down GCN Plus in late 2023. And earlier this year, the GCN website was also closed. It was a rough few months, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
To say the least, saying goodbye to many dearly loved colleagues. And we would never want to repeat it. However, we also became independent again, didn't we? And we are buzzing for what lies ahead.
Yeah, we have survived, thankfully, to 25. And hopefully we'll do for many years beyond that. But is it the same for others? Is it still the case that if you did weather the storm of 23 and 24, you'll be fine in 25?
Well, it's not that simple, is it?
Unfortunately,
really?
Not.
It was never going to be a night and day situation, of course. But rather, a glimmer of light, perhaps, at the end of a long tunnel. The good news is that there is light and there is reason to be optimistic.
A glimmer, yes. Firstly, one of the biggest problems facing the industry over the last couple of years looks to be almost over. That being the backlog of stock or inventory that's prevented manufacturers from releasing new products. Some of that issue was down to the overestimations, wasn't it, of demand after the COVID spike. Some of it was down to supply chain issues, and some of that was down to a really big boat getting stuck in the Suez Canal.
Remember that? Mm. Seems a bit weird now to talk about it, but yeah, that was a big deal. Whatever the reasons, though, cycling brands have been sat on a lot of stock that they needed to get rid of. Now, for consumers, that's a pretty good thing, right? There have been some mega deals around as companies try and get equipment out of their warehouses to make way for newer models.
Yes, and therefore you might be thinking that brand new bikes and components at full RRP might not be the best solution at a time when a lot of people are still feeling the pinch. But actually, it's the luxury and prestige brands, who appear to not only be weathering the storm, but kind of excelling.
That's right, yeah. So both Colnago and Pinarello, to name but two, are bucking current industry trends. And as you're all well aware, they specialise in premium high-end bikes. Now, interestingly, an increasing number of those sales are coming from China. Now, I have actually talked to a few people in the industry, well-known brands, and
hobnobbing.
Yeah, that's kind of what I do. No, I really don't. But they told me that they're selling a lot of high-end bikes and components in China, to the extent that in some cases they're diverting stock back from Europe to China. Yeah,
interesting. So the country which produces and manufactures most of the world's bikes is buying an increasing number of premium bikes themselves. It's turned its back on bikes in favour of cars in the past as it develops the nation, but they are now making a comeback, albeit in a different capacity.
Yeah, which is still good news for cycling as a whole, right? Like, if there's any nation that you want to get the cycling bug, it's the one with 1.4 billion inhabitants.
yeah, preferable to a sudden cycling craze over in Bermuda, for example, isn't it?
I mean, like, I'd want a cycling craze everywhere, right? But in terms of like what it can do for the planet, I think, yeah, China getting on bikes, that's pretty cool. And also, we should say, some pretty amazing riding to be had out there as well. Hopefully, we can get out there at some point soon. My last experience of China, Dan, was the Tour of Qinghai Lake.
Nice.
In 2009. No, it is not something that I would ever want to repeat.
I would. I want a stage there. 19 years ago, I think it was.
I remember as well. Yeah, you beat the Netherlands' sexiest vegetarian, Martin Terlingi, into second place.
After we came to a bit of a deal.
Anyway. Did you?
Yeah. Well, he was going into the yellow jersey. I needed to get something out of helping you into it. I didn't pay for it as such.
I know
just came to an agreement.
Yeah. Gave him a few vegetables. Yes. Okay, right.
Either way, that was one of my many career highlights.
Yeah, okay.
But back to the point in hand, what does 2025 look like?
Well, you know what, right? So from reading comments under GCN videos, I think that actually the market isn't going to pick up in as many countries quite as much as some brands are hoping. Well, firstly, right, so you can technology on bikes continues to improve, but unless there's another major shift like we had with disc brakes, well, carbon fibre, actually, we should say, first of all, then disc brakes or gravel bikes or electronic group sets, all of those big reasons to upgrade, then I can't see all that many people upgrading unless it's just because it's something that we love to do. And let's face it, many of us do love to do it if we've got the means. And secondly, prices are high, right? So whatever reasons we've dug into before, I think it's harder to get into cycling right now, isn't it? There are going to be fewer new people joining the sport, I think.
It does feel like there's a bigger barrier to entry, doesn't it, in some
ways?
Not a bad thing for cycling as a whole, but it is something that does need addressing long-term, that's for sure.
That's right, yeah, more people cycling is a good thing, right? So keep spreading the word, people. Roads, trails, hills and mountains are waiting for us. And they're as good as ever, aren't they, basically?
They are, yes. Let us know your thoughts. Do you see it looking a lot brighter at the end of the tunnel as we go into 2025? Or is it more doom and gloom? Say it ain't so.
I've heard the roads from Manchester to London are particularly
doomy
good.
And gloomy.
No, they're amazing. Mm. All 350 kilometres.
Not even a tunnel. It's just light.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts now, and since this show is being recorded in advance this week, and therefore we don't have any news to go through, we thought we would pick out our favourite and proudest moments from the year.
I'll start. With some racing.
All right.
Just to get in before you take them. So in terms of racing, I've got to go with the obvious ones, really, like Cavs, win number 35.
Really?
35 at Tour de France. That was a goosebumps moment, surely, for anyone.
Yeah, well, yeah, just, right, yeah, I'll give you that.
I mean, just because it was amazing and sort of unexpected, I think I'm safe in saying.
Yeah.
And also Kasia Nieuwiedoma winning the Tour de France Femme Avex Zwift, because feels like for years she's been playing second fiddle to the really big stars in the women's peloton, but she went and won the biggest race of them all in what was one of the most dramatic finishes of any bike race I've ever seen, on Alpe d'Huez, no less.
Oh, I mean, ridiculously dramatic. Mm. You couldn't write that.
No.
No one would believe it. But okay, right, they were both special moments. Okay. Cav 2, I would agree. In terms of racing, as I've said, I would agree with the Tour de France Femme Avex Zwift. For me, the Mathieu van der Poel Flanders Roubaix double, pretty cool, whilst wearing the World Champs jersey.
What a surprise.
Yeah, but actually, I want to throw Tom Pidcock at the Olympics mountain bike.
Oh, I thought you might go for that.
Yeah. basically, like, he didn't have the perfect race, but he came back and then he robbed Koretsky in basically the final corner. Wow, no, it was legit, wasn't it?
Comments are going to go wild.
No. It was pure racing instinct, and I love seeing that.
So, it was a brilliant finale.
It was good.
Right, on to what I'm most proud about this year, Si. You know this. So do most of the viewers, actually. I'm going to say it anyway. Proud of making a few changes to my lifestyle and getting fit.
So you should be.
That links to one of my highlights of this year. Racing Sepp Kuss and Jonas Vingegaard in a Zwift race all the way back in January, almost a year ago.
I mean, I can see why that would be a highlight. Getting to race, or in your instance, kind of ride, I suppose, with two of the biggest... Well, you were racing, they were riding. Mm. They were doing a recovery ride, weren't they? Two of the biggest stars on the planet. It's not your everyday experience, is it? But how does that relate to your lifestyle changes?
Well, because it was being beaten by them there that made me realise I probably need to get a bit fitter.
Sorry. Being beaten by two Grand Tour winners, recent ones at that, would have happened even if you were 10% fitter than you'd ever been.
probably 20%.
You would have needed to make some serious deal with those two to win a tour of Sage and Tour of King High Lake. Let's put it that way.
Well, firstly, Si, only Vingegaard beat me. If you remember, I finished second to Vingegaard, but in front of Sepp Kuss.
Because I think Sepp Kuss is possibly one of the most polite people on the planet, and he wouldn't want to completely embarrass an old man unless it was absolutely...
Oh, less of the old man, thank you very much. You're only 6% younger than me, I will have you know, and that figure is reducing by the year.
You actually worked that out?
I did, yes, you're 6% younger.
Not just old, but also sad. 6% sounds like a big gap as well. I thought it'd be less than that.
It'll be 5 soon. Anyway, Merry Christmas to you two. Now, if you'll allow me to get back on topic, obviously I didn't expect to beat either of them that day. But they barely got out of zone one. I think they nosebleed the whole way, if I'm honest. My heart rate, meanwhile, for the power that I was doing was just ridiculously off the charts. That wasn't the only reason that I decided I should get a bit healthier and fitter. But it was one of them.
Yeah, and look at you now, mate, beating your 5K PBs.
Yes, even with these pecs.
That's right.
What's your highlight of the year?
Your pecs, definitely one of them. Remarkable. No, you know what? Like, I wouldn't say there have been any moments that have made me feel proud of my physical prowess. My pecs have not grown. My FTP has not increased. But anything. But, well, yeah, I basically feel slightly slower this year than years past. But I've been able to do some amazing things, like racing around the Lifetime GP at Sea Otter. That was cool. Qualifying for the Gravel Worlds, then racing the Gravel Worlds, albeit slowly. And then close to home, an epic ride in a beautiful part of a country that I love, so the Trouser Rear.
You're doing some great things and getting longer to enjoy them.
Well, that's it, yes. I really did get to savour the World Championships. I was out there for a very long time. but no, in terms of feeling proud, I actually have been feeling really proud of the videos that we've been making and the impact they've been having, right? So a bit like your Journey to Health and Fitness series, which I think has made a big impact on a lot of different people. My two highlights, visiting the America's Cup to see American Magic. The sailing team, that was a real treat. And I'm really proud of the video we made. I thought it was cool. And then there's also the Carspiracy video, which is an avenue I'd like to explore more of in 25.
I know you would, and you will indeed, I'm sure, as well. We should probably be serious as well for a moment. Not that wasn't serious.
That was very serious,
And point out that it's actually a highlight of our lives, really, isn't it? That we get paid to talk about, and in Si's case, ride bikes. And that's obviously something that we couldn't do if it weren't for you.
That is right, 100%. The GCN community, you lot, is what allows us to continue to do what we're doing year on year, which is a real privilege, isn't it? So yeah, thank you very much. And it's also been great to read many of your recent comments, recognising that actually we've kind of been stepping it up again, haven't we?
Yeah, because that's exactly what we have been trying to do, isn't it? When we became an independent company again in the summer, we wanted to up our game to produce the best videos we've ever produced. And judging by the viewing numbers and the retention, the comments, etc., it does feel like we're kind of on the right track at least, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Like, we've always tried to make the best content we've ever made, but we've kind of like...
There's always room for improvement, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, again, a genuine thank you from the two of us, but from everyone at GCN as well, for your views, your likes, your super thanks, your membership, your comments, general support. We promise to continue trying to improve and bring you more of what you want, like... Dan, doing the longest ride he's ever done. Yeah, you can donate below for that one.
Stop 220 miles from Manchester to London.
I mean, you did bring it on yourself. You named a price.
I did.
The price was £15,000 for our Ambitious About Autism charity. Now, as we're recording this a week in advance, I'm not sure where the current figure's up to, but I imagine we've still got a little bit of a way to go. So
here's hoping.
If you have any spare change lying around after Christmas, then please head to the link in the description below and help us get it over the line, because you will need to start training soon, won't you, Dan?
Yes. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to start training until we've crossed the 15 grand line, because that could turn out to be a complete waste of time, couldn't it? I mean, ideally, what I want to happen, Si, is I want to raise £14,999. Because it's a lot of money for charity and I don't have to ride.
Well, people would still pay if you don't do it.
Well, it's there now.
Oh, I see.
I'm not sure there's a refunds policy. I mean, it's not going to happen, is it? Somebody's going to do the last quid if it gets to that sort of...
Yeah. But you probably do want to start training before the £15,000 mark, because if you don't get £15,000 until the week before, then it's really going to hurt.
Yeah, that is
it won't be
point,
a day's
actually.
Ride. It'll be like a week solid.
I think I need to think about this a little bit more, don't I?
You do, yeah. Mm. Anyway, beyond Dan's big ride, we've got plenty of other challenges planned for 2025. Some of them are top secret. So unfortunately,
lots of them.
Well, yeah, all of them, basically. But I can tell you that Ollie is going to attempt to break a world record.
Yeah. Yeah, he's already in training for it, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
That's actually the reason why he didn't do the 5K run on GTN. Even though it's not until basically summertime. Actually, that's how serious he is about this world record, which I can't tell you about.
Yeah, Alex is going gravel racing, full gas as well. Connor is off on more adventures, mm-hmm. and I'm switching to triathlon.
What?
No, only kidding.
Phew.
No, literally, I just 100% will not do a triathlon, ever.
Good.
Ever.
You heard it here. First and last.
Yeah, all right. Speaking of hearing, we want to hear from you lot, always though. So if there are videos that you would like us to make, issues to explore, science to cover, whatever, riders to meet, races to ride, destinations to venture to, the list is endless. Let us know in the comments section. Because yeah, ultimately, whilst we want to do cool stuff, we also want to do what you want us to do.
But we have to. That's our way of surviving, Si, isn't it? And getting paid to talk and ride bikes.
I mean, I suppose it is really, isn't it?
Yeah. Hack / bodge of the week now.
Bodge of the year.
Oh, that's the correct, yes.
Bodge of the year.
/ bodge of the year. A reminder, as if you didn't know, because we've been keep telling you, I can't even speak at this point in the year, is that this is pre-recorded. So what we've done is gone back through a few of your favourites, hacks and bodges. We've judged that basically by views and reaction, the computer's going off. It's all going...
Oh my God, who would have thought that we're about to go for a big night out on New Year's Eve, Dan?
I know. Right.
See, hang a minute, it's the wrong day of the week for you. How are you going to have a big night out tonight?
Oh no, I can't, can I? No, and I'm doing dry January. Anyway, first up, this one from Freddy Energizer. This is a specialist clothes dryer. Freddy wrote in with us and sent us the pictures of, in fact, it's a video, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I mean, it does look like it would probably dry his clothes. I sort of feel like it's possibly not the most environmentally friendly clothes dryer. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much those fans use, actually, to be fair.
But if it's a Canadian winter, Si.
Well, yeah, those clothes aren't going to dry themselves in Canada. No, wait, although, let's face it, if it's a Canadian winter, he's not going to need a short-sleeve jersey and a gilet.
Than that.
Yeah, exactly.
And he wouldn't have sweated in them anyway.
Good point. Yeah, they'd have just... Because, yeah, if you sweat, you freeze down in Canada.
Oh, yes. That's what I believe.
Yeah.
So I hear or read. Next up, the one that we really like this year.
Did you say it was a hack or a bodge, by the way?
Well, I presume we've already done that. I can't remember and I don't want to contradict myself.
Oh, it was a hack.
Oh, there we go, yeah. I was going to say hack again then.
You and Connor said hack. I would have said bodge.
Yuri Limote sent this one in, which is basically like a mesh to go over the front of his dad's helmet, wasn't it? To prevent any wasps, bees or other insects penetrating through the holes in the helmet and irritating his head.
Penetrating the helmet? Really?
Yeah. Well, how would you describe it? Getting in the
getting
helmet?
Getting through the...
Anyway.
Getting sucked in.
I mean, helps solve whatever problem that is. People love that.
They do, yeah.
So many people are talking about the problems of having wasps in your helmet.
Well, and it looked cool as well. That was the main thing, right? It was, you know, actually it looked like, I think we said at the time, it looked like Darth Vader's lid. But
I presume we both said hack for that, did we?
Oh, undoubtedly. Okay. You know what, actually, I touch wood, haven't ever had a bee or a wasp fly into my helmet vents and sting me. Like, they've gone in a few times and then popped out again. But I did have one fly into the strap and sting me under the ear. I was well annoyed.
Yeah, bet,
I was so annoyed. I just turned around and went home again.
You don't do very long rides anyway, do you?
This was when I was like full time.
Oh, I see. So, okay. Yeah. All right. Let you off.
Thanks.
Next up, this one came in from Chloe Ski, or Chloe Ski. A duct tape tire patch. Now, I would imagine that this one got a lot of views on Instagram Reels because, well, every day is a learning day. Well, people just get into cycling, don't they? And this is a really great tip. We have been doing similar tips for 11, 12 years when we first put a patch inside a tire, wasn't
it?
But to this day, it still works. Well, I'm pretty sure we would have said that was a hack as well. It's a roadside hack, isn't
Absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, yeah. Totally. Yes, as long as you put the duct tape on the inside of the tyre, as opposed to the outside. But actually, you can put whatever you like on the inside. Like, gel wrappers work really well, don't they?
A pound note. do they even do them in Scotland still?
I don't know, do they?
I used to get Scottish pound notes from an uncle that wasn't an actual uncle. One of those people.
Really?
Yeah.
Generous guy.
Yeah, was, wasn't he? And finally, number four, Tracy KB. 3D printed banana holder. Now, Si, we have not passed judgment on this because
no,
this
haven't.
Was Hank and Menon hosting the GSN show that particular week.
Yeah. I think this is amazing. I think it comes about because we challenged someone to have a 3D printed banana holder.
Oh, right,
and there
it
is on
that.
The seat post. I think that's absolutely amazing.
Well, I can't really call it a bodge, can I? If we asked people to do it and send it in.
Well, it's 3D printed, mate. You can't call it a bodge.
Okay, all right. Well, it's a hack from Si and I.
The only issue I've got with it is that I'm actually not a massive fan of bananas as ride food.
They said hack.
There you go. But, I always find, I don't know whether I'm the only person in the world, but I find that when I eat a banana, it makes me more hungry. I find I'm less satisfied having eaten a banana than if I don't eat one at all. So it just seems like the worst kind of ride food.
Yeah, and they're not even supposed to go in smoothies anymore, are they?
Why not?
There's some sort of scientific literature's come out about the negative effects on the rest of the fruit you put in the smoothie. If
you're kidding me. Is that legitimate science? Or is that like some bro influencer who's just like...
A bit of both.
I don't eat vegetables because they're bad for you.
Well, I saw it in a few places. Peter Attia talked about it.
All right.
So I don't know what judgment you're going to pass.
I don't know about that. Like,
anyway, we're saying hack, even though previously it was... we're saying bodge, aren't we? No, we're saying hack.
We're saying hack, yeah.
This year can't end soon enough. There's no light at the end of my tunnel.
No, there isn't. But we can tell you what next week's GCN show is going to be about, and it's whether or not you could put a banana in a smoothie.
Oh, yeah. You're going to look that up straight away.
Blooming heck I am, yeah. Not that I eat loads of smoothies, but that just seems like one of those things where you're like, that's just a bit cracked. Well,
smoothies are thick. You eat them.
All right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't partake in many smoothies.
Anyway, that brings us to the end of your hacks and bodges for another year, doesn't it?
On that high, because it was a high that last week, wasn't it? It was blooming interesting.
Yeah.
That's the end of the GCN show.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Because we haven't actually seen any captions because last week's video is not out yet as we record this, is it?
There we go, no. So not only is it the last GCN show of the year, it's also the last GCN video of the year, it being New Year's Eve. So basically what we need to do is wish everyone a happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah, genuinely, we hope you have had a great 2024 and have an amazing 2025. Full of riding or watching bike races, depending on how you see fit. A happy and healthy year.
And if you're watching this on New Year's Eve, have a great night.